Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the docket, Barry Morphew makes his first court appearance. We'll give you all the details. Second, Letitia Stauch wants to fire her attorneys that she asked to have reappointed. Third, Josh Dugar gets to go home. Fourth, prosecutors defend the nightly sleep checks for Ghislaine Maxwell. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button as well as that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. We have a busy docket today, a lot to talk about. First, Barry Morphew appeared in court today. For those of you who are not familiar with this, Sue, yes, he's not going to make his daughter's graduation from the University of Colorado this weekend. What took place today? Well, Barry Morphew appeared in a orange and white jail striped uniform. He was assisted by the Office of the Public Defender. The public defender has been appointed to represent him. The judge gave Barry Morphew his Rule 5 advisement, advising him that he has a right to an attorney, that he has a right to remain silent, and that anything he says can be used against him. If there is going to be a plea in this case, that it has to be voluntarily made. He also stated that he has a right to a trial, and he has a right to a trial within 6 months from the date that he says not guilty. Well, that's still a few months down the road for sure. The court set a no bond hold given the nature of the charges, the most serious obviously being first degree murder after deliberation. There's tampering with evidence as well as attempting to influence a public official charges as well. The affidavit for the arrest warrant still remains sealed. The public defender was given a copy of that affidavit. We will have to wait a little longer, hopefully by the next court date, which is now set for May 27th. That will be for the official filing of charges. The other interesting part of this hearing was the fact that an 18-1-1001 protection order was put in place. That's simply the statute site here in the state of Colorado. They're issued in every criminal case, and it says that you must not harass, molest, retaliate against any witness in this case. Well, normally it's a no contact order. Don't go near any of those people. But a couple of the witnesses in the case, that's right, Barry Morphew's daughters, Mallory and Macy, are not under that no contact order. Barry Morphew can have contact with them if they reach out to him. I find this somewhat interesting given the fact that now their father is accused formally of killing their mother. We'll see if they continue to stand behind their father or if they sit on the other side of the courtroom the next time that he appears in court. We will keep you apprised of developments as they become available. Next on the docket, Letitia Stauch. Remember her? That's right. She's down in El Paso County. She is accused of killing Gannon Stauch, her 11-year-old stepson. Well, back in February, she had fired her two attorneys that were with the public defender's office. She wanted to proceed pro se so that she could review the 30,000 pages of documents in her case. She quickly found out that that was not a wise thing to do, that's representing yourself, and that the limited time that she was given at the law library at the El Paso County Jail wasn't going to be sufficient. She removed herself from that list, writes a letter to the court saying that she wants an attorney appointed at state expense other than her previous attorneys. Well, the court then appoints the Office of the Public Defender. They have a brief hearing late yesterday afternoon. And guess what? She wants to fire the public defender. She wants a private attorney appointed at state expense. So the matter was referred to a different judge to see if there is an ethical conflict which would require or allow for the appointment of a private attorney to represent Letitia Stauch. No word on that yet, but once we find out, we will let you know. Now, Remember Josh Duggar? That's right. Rhymes with hugger. He was released yesterday from an Arkansas federal detention facility because the judge said that he is not a danger to the community nor a flight risk, and that reasonable conditions can be set to assure his appearance in court and make sure that he doesn't get in any more trouble. But we were able to learn some important information that came out at the detention hearing. The government wanted to keep Mr. Josh Duggar in custody, so they put an agent up to establish additional facts for the court to consider before the terms of bail were set. What we learned was that Josh Duggar was using the Tor browser so that he could search anonymously on the World Wide Web, going into the deep dark web. The Tor browser was apparently used to bypass an anti-porn software dubbed Covenant Eyes, which his wife, get this, his wife Anna installed to monitor what her husband was downloading. We also learned that there were some 200 images of children as young as the age of 5 on his computer. We also learned that he was apparently downloading onto this computer that he was taking to work. Now, if you watch our video the other day, I predicted that Mr. Duggar would be released, that he would have GPS conditions, that he wouldn't be allowed to be around anyone under the age of 18. Well, I called it. The judge is allowing Mr. Duggar to see his children as long as his wife is present. Mr. Duggar is going to reside with some family friends, actually friends of his father, but apparently they don't have Wi-Fi and there's no way that Mr. Duggar can access the internet. Obviously, that's going to be a big concern. What we're going to do now that we know the number of photos that he has in his system, we're going to take a look at the federal sentencing guidelines and take a look at what sentence he could possibly receive. We'll give you an update on that in the next couple of days. As always, we'll continue to follow this story, and we're going to make sure we pronounce his name Duggar. That's right. Rhymes with hugger. All right, let's take a quick recess before we continue on with the docket. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, Ghislaine Maxwell. That's right. Her struggles continue. As you may recall, we brought you the story the other day that her attorneys were quite upset by the fact that the correctional officers were continuing to wake Ghislaine Maxwell up every 15 minutes with a flashlight to make sure that she was still alive. The court ordered the prosecution, the United States attorneys in this particular case, to justify what is going on and why do we have to wake her up every 15 minutes. The prosecutor told the judge that given the heightened security for Ms. Maxwell, it was absolutely necessary because of the nature of the charges she faces, the potential stress she faces in a high-profile criminal case, and because of a need to ensure her safety in a cell where she is alone. Obviously, this beckons back to her former boyfriend. That's right, that guy named Jeff that passed away when he had somebody in his cell. But I'm not really sure why these particular charges should be any more stressful for her than any other defendant facing federal charges. That's the argument that the prosecutor is making in this particular case. We'll see how the judge rules as to whether they think this is appropriate. Frankly, I'm not sure the court has any jurisdiction to tell the federal detention center there in New York how to run their business whatsoever. We'll see if the judge thinks that he has that authority. And next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. And boy, this is a doozy. Meet Nicholas Newhart. Well, he was down in Nashville and he was having, you know, apparently a good time at Kid Rock's big ass honky tonk rock and roll steakhouse there in Nashville. Apparently a confrontation broke out. He was asked to leave the establishment. The security guards got into a scuffle with Mr. Newhart. And guess what he did next? I don't think anyone would predict what he did next. Listen to this. When he was asked to leave and refused to do so, based upon many requests, according to the security officers and the police were ultimately flagged down. And when the officers arrived at the location to assist with the security people there, Mr. Newhart then reached into his pants and then pulled out a colostomy bag from inside the front area of his pants and started to swing the bag around from left to right, hitting two of the Metro police officers with his feces. The defendant was completely drunk when he was taken into custody without further incident. That's right. He's been charged with assault on a peace officer, disorderly conduct, and public intoxication. There are normally charges not only just for assaulting a police officer, but actually assaulting police officer with contents that could go into a colostomy bag. Because first of all, it's just gross. It's unsanitary. You could get diseases. And it's just plain not right. So I doubt Mr. Newhart will think that his night at Kid Rock's big-ass honky-tonk rock and roll steakhouse was the way he thought it was going to end. Oh, and by the way, this guy sounds like quite the winner. Apparently, he had a Confederate flag tattoo on the back of his head and a neo-Nazi tattoo on his forehead. Wow, this guy is quite the winner. You just can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. So, want to thank Profiling Evil. We were with him today for the Barry Morphew court appearance. We can't bring it to you live because although it was on WebEx, we can't stream it. We would get in trouble for that. We're not going to get in trouble for that because, well, let's face it, if this YouTube thing doesn't work out, I'm still going to need a day job of being a lawyer. So we'll try again next time. The judge will more than likely grant expanded media coverage, so we'll be able to hopefully stream that next time Barry Morphew appears in court on May 27th. All right, thanks for watching. Please don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. That's right, TikTok. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.